where I'll begin my reading. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I want to reach to you tonight. There's some here that I need to reach.
Yes.
You are underestimating your enemy. You are underestimating the power of your enemy. You are not wise. If you would have listened to this gray-headed man, I could have saved you some scars. I could have saved you some hurt, some embarrassment. But you don't listen because you think you're wise. The wise man seeks counsel and finds that in the multitude of counselors, he is more safe. He gets many opinions about one subject. And the majority of the time, the majority can be right. Not all the time, but the majority of the time. I want you to notice with me tonight, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Look at your own self as your own enemy. Look at that. Who oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Truth is that you're not where you should be. You're not what you ought to be. And you've been living that way for quite a while. And therefore, I must reach to you. I must try to get between you and your enemy. It's a dangerous place to be because he will cause you to think, I am your enemy. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Your soul is very important. You can lose it. How many know you can lose your soul?
Amen.
Right.
You can lose it to the extent that you cannot get it back, even though you are alive and breathing. There's one sin that God names, that while you are living, breathing, existing in the best of health, that if you commit that sin, you are forever dead in the presence and the sight of God. For God will not forgive you now, and God will not forgive you ever. Sin is dangerous.
Amen.
There are some sins that can cut you off and you're a dead man walking.
Yes, sir.
The old preachers that used to preach to me said these words, there is a line unseen of a man that crosses every path. And a man that goes beyond that goes beyond that, has forever cut himself off from returning. There are some things that you cannot return from. God does not give a multitude of chances. God gives sometimes just one. And you must understand that the devil understands everything that there is to know about how God works. He is not ignorant of God, and neither is God ignorant of his devices. God can save you if pre-adventure, the Bible says, if God pre-adventure will give them repentance, if God will let you change your mind. If God will let you change your mind. You didn't think God had anything to do with it, did you? But God does. Amen. God has a lot to do with everything. And we must understand that tonight I'm reaching to you. Listen to me. I'm not your youth leader. I'm your pastor. But right now, I am very important to you because I'm talking to you about your eternal well-being.
Yes.
The devil has put in your mind by example and by childish thinking that you can go out and come back a number of times. That's a lie.
Pastor.
You do not have to be permitted back at all.
Right.
When you pray, you should pray not to just be praying. You should pray that God would pre-adventure give you a mind and a heart of repentance.
Yes. Yes.
Except God give you a spirit of repentance. You can't repent. It's a terrible thing for you to sit here, young as you are, and as indifferent as you are. Now listen to me. Put up your machine. Put up your phone. Don't be texting. Listen to me.
Right.
Because you may be texting yourself right into hell.
That's right, man. That's right.
This is no time for you not to be very well attentive to what I'm telling you. The devil has snares. The Bible says it right here. It says the word recover, and then it says out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will, to be at the mercy of the devil. Listen to me, children. To be at the mercy of the devil. You don't see that very often. You live a sheltered life. But then there are people who now would sell anything that they possess for just one more fix. They have been in prison. They got out of prison. They went right back to it. They've been to detox. They got a detox. Went right back to it. Who are taken captive. Who are taken in the snare of the devil. Who are taken captive by him at his will. Do you understand? You need to learn this lesson. Habits. Habits. Watch your habits. Because habits form a noose and then a snare and then a fatality. Watch your habits. Listen to me when I talk to you tonight, my beloved people. You can become so ingrained in a habit that you don't see or understand the end of it. What is the end of that habit? Where will that habit take you? Pornography is not born into a child. Pornography is bred into a character by repeated habit forming, looking, re-looking, looking again. The first time you look, you're embarrassed. The second time you look, you're not so embarrassed. The third time you look, you're just afraid of getting caught. And then after a while, you have it stored in your mind. And years later, that which you stored in your mind in your youth flashes back.
Yes, sir.
Comes flashing back at the most inopportune time. Sitting in the house of God, and all of a sudden there's a flash that goes through your head, and you see plainly that which has embarrassed you in the past. And now the devil has such control that he can do it in the house of God. You are taken captive. It is here that you see the only thing that can save people out of the snare is a sure foundation. The foundation of God standeth sure. And every foundation God builds has a seal on it. He stands good for it. It can stand the storms of life. It can stand the temptations of life. And until you get on the rock, until you are built on a sure foundation, you can be taken captive by the devil at his will. The two things is first, God knows. God knows those that are his. Amen. And the second one is that if you know God and God knows you, you will hate evil. You will hate iniquity. You will hate sin. You will have no compassion on sin. You will have no more compassion on sin than a surgeon does cancer. How deep does a surgeon go when he's cutting cancer out? He'll cut until he can find no more. Then what do they do? Not satisfied that they have removed the tumor, they will give you chemotherapy, which is turning liquid fire loose in your blood. Will it cost you? Absolutely it will cost you. But is the cost worth the life? You see, we say, yeah. We watch folks fall off, their frame fall off, they lose weight, they lose their hair. They lose a lot. Women, men, sometimes we forget that we're willing to accept that penalty for letting cancer into our body. But then when sin comes, we don't see sin. And they say the way cancer is, it becomes your aggressor as such a small thing that it slips by your defenses of your body. And then it lodges in its soft tissue, in an organ. And then it sets up and begins to mutate, take control of. And all of a sudden you have a cancer. Sin may start out small. But sin has one thing it's going to do to everyone, and that is kill you.
Right. Yes. Right. True.
The devil knows how deadly sin is. And he knows that you are very foolish, once delivered from sin, to go back and pick it up again. If I rebuild that which I've destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. You're not helping me preach. And some of you wish I wasn't preaching. But I've got to warn you. I've got to tell you, you've got an adversary that is older than you can ever imagine. Before the world was, Lucifer was. He was in the presence of God and chose to rebel against God, and now he makes rebels out of everyone that he can capture. He uses every captured child. And because God is the creator, every soul belongs to God. But God has put a price out and said, "And the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die."
Right, surely.
And the devil knows that God meant what he said and said what he meant. You let sin in your life, you're signing your own death warrant. Now you can't touch, you can't pet, you can't let people talk you into it. The Bible tells us here that there is fleeing youthful lust. Youthful, hear me? It's in you. Until you get it sanctified and under the blood, it will follow you like a hound on a rabbit's trail.
Yes.
I don't care how well you've raised your child. The devil knows how. The devil knows when. And the devil knows where. He doesn't watch. He doesn't mind watching your child for a year, 2 years, 3 years. He'll learn them. He will size them up. He knows that he's really after you. If he can get you discouraged, he can get you to quit praying. If he can get you to throw up your hands in frustration, if he can get you to thank God your enemy, he'll take your child and he'll set a snare for them. And when that child is caught in that snare and they come home talking, amen, out of their head, and they're no longer the child that you raised, just remember, the devil was after them so he could get in your house and cause you misery.
Right.
Amen. Sin is nothing to play with.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
If you catch your child in a lie, just remember, that's the making of a liar. If you catch your child stealing, remember, that's the making of a thief. If you catch your child locking his door, storing himself away, looking at a computer, you better find out what he's looking at, because that's the making of a corrupt heart.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Why would they want to hide it from mom and dad? Ask yourself the question. Why do they want to hide it from mom and dad? You're not helping me preach. That you, that they may recover themselves. That they may recover themselves. Awake. Come awake. The word recover is awake. That they may awake themselves out of the snare of the devil. They're trying. Paul is talking to Timothy about is sometimes they have fallen asleep lured. You take a snake, cannot chase a bird because it cannot fly. But the flicking of its tongues and the staring of its head and the inching forward to after a while the bird is charmed to where he cannot escape. Watch my precious people. They can be lured into a drowsy state to where they cannot be alarmed. They're not alarmed. They've got friends that do things. It doesn't alarm them. They run with people who do things. It does not alarm them. They talk to people about sex. They talk to people about drugs. They talk to people about how mom and dad do not love them and how mom and dad are too strict on them. How mom and dad won't let them. Listen to me when I tell you they can be put to sleep, and when you're asleep, you do not feel in danger. But when you're awake and the house is on fire, it's a whole different story. When you're awake and you see somebody coming straight at you down the road, it's a time to get alarmed. But you first got to wake up. This is a wake-up call. Hear me. You cannot continue tiptoeing around a minefield. After a while, it's going to blow you apart. For trying to work your way through people who plant devices of destruction in your way, sooner or later you're going to fall, and when you do, you're not going to be able to recover.
Come on, that's right.
You've got an enemy. The Bible calls him an adversary, a foe. Amen. When somebody is going to face an opponent, they will get all of the information they can. Boxers do it. Wrestlers do it. Football teams do it. Basketball teams do it. No matter what sport it is, if somebody is going to be your foe, you will study them. You will look for a weakness. Amen. We have reconnaissance planes that constantly fly over our enemy's territory. Always counting troops, troop movements. Why? Because if we go to sleep, they'll get us. Be sober. Be vigilant. Get awake! Because your adversary... This is personal, my friend. Where are your children? How many will just be honest and say, if the Lord was to come right now, that your children are aware of the coming of the Lord? Or are they asleep like the multitude? To walk a narrow path, you must stay alert. To walk a broad path, you can have time that you can walk among people and walk and just follow the noise and the din of the crowd. But we used to sing that old song on the Jericho Road, there's room for just two. No more, no less, just Jesus and you. We don't like the narrow path, it's too confining. We don't like the narrow gate, but the narrow gate and the narrow path has a direction. That's why folks don't like it. There's no meandering. You must walk with a determination. You must walk knowing going through that gate and getting on that path has a direction. It leads to life. The broad way, and many thereon, but it leads to destruction. You say, well, my friends are having fun. Fun going where? Fun going to hell? Well, let me make it very plain. There's still only two places, heaven or hell.
Right.
Right. The broad way goes to hell. The narrow way leads to heaven. Are your children on the narrow way? You can tell if they are. Look at the friends. That would have been a good place for an amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Look at what's going on around you. How close is your child to the snare of the devil? How close is your child to be taken alive, captive by him at his will? who are taken, that word taken actually can be taken alive. It means caught while they are living. Taken alive. It's boring, isn't it? This is boring stuff, isn't it, boys? It's boring stuff. Hey, old gray-headed man up there, just ranting and raving, not making sense. But you know what? This old gray-headed man has already been where you're at. I've already reached. I've already tasted. I've already got the scars. I've already got the bruises. And I'm trying to save you the embarrassment of getting them.
Right.
Come on, Pastor.
I've been there, done that. I've been there, been out there.
Yes.
I'm just trying to tell you this ain't really, really, it really isn't what it's all cracked up to be.
Right.
You start smoking young, you may live to be 90 smoking, but then you may die at 49. You may die at 30. You may die of cancer that's self-inflicted. You may stake your first drink young and beat on your chest and say, "Woo, boy, was that something." But then you may be standing over in a corner somewhere with a shake so bad that you think you're going to die if you can't have one more drink.
Right.
And you'll steal to get that drink.
Right.
And you'll lie to get that drink.
Right.
And you'll take somebody else's property to get that drink.
Right.
And you'll kill
yeah.
Right. to get that drink.
Right.
Don't tell me the devil plays fair. He never plays fair. He never plays on even ground. He never makes it easy for you. He has got but one thing, take you alive. He wants to make a slave out of you. A dead man is no good to him. He wants a live slave. He wants somebody he can talk to. Somebody that marches to his drumbeat. Somebody that cannot help themselves. He wants to render you helpless and then use you to display his trophy.
Right.
That's right.
And nothing worse than trying to console a broken-hearted parent who has watched a child that was one time good go bad. What are you going to do when you get out there when the Bible says that you should flee youthful lust and follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart? What are you going to do when the Bible says, flee fornication? What are you going to say to your mom and dad, young lady, when you've come home and you've lost your virtue? Are you going to tell them? Will you be able to tell them? Will you be able to say, I gave myself away? And that's exactly what you're doing. You're giving yourself away. Because you'll never be the same. And what about you, young man, who robs some young lady of her virtue? Will you ever be able to look at her again? You're a thief that stole more value than her. You've stole their good name. You've stole their future. They'll always live knowing that you were the person who made their life change. And it will change them. That's okay. I'm standing up here by myself and I'll preach this. If I have to preach it by myself.
Amen.
This book is right.
Amen.
You may not be able to envision the devil marking the path of your child. You may not be able to envision that he hates you enough that he would take your child just to get to you. You may not be able to envision what it does to a parent to lose a child. It's the most heartbreaking. It's the most sad occasion that a parent ever has to go through, is to watch someone you love and have gave your life to being taken out of your grip, and knowing that somebody else now controls their life. And that's exactly what the devil intends to do.
Yes, sir.
He wants to drive a wedge between that child and you. He wants you to get to where you think that child is your enemy. He wants you to think that child is no longer of any value, too costly. Is that wedge being driven tonight? Are you on speaking terms with your child? Does your child confide in you? If he's not talking to you, if she's not talking to you, then who are they talking to? And believe me, they are talking to somebody. And what kind of advice are that person giving your child? I'll tell you. The devil will have for every Amnon, there will be a Jonadab. Amnon was so naive and so gullible that he fell in love with his own sister and got sick. He was actually, the Bible tells, sick over his love for her. Jonadab says, that's no problem. Go there and get in your bedroom and tell your dad that you're sick and that you want her to bring you some bread. There's the snare. Now it's laid. Can Amnon awake? Can he awake in time? Can he shake himself? Can he get out of that trap? And the answer of it is no. He rapes his own sister. He defiles her for life. Will Amnon escape? No. Absalom will slay him. He is signing his death warrant when he follows the advice of a friend. And you will have counselors. And there will be somebody that will tell you. They'll tell you, you don't have to listen to mom and dad. There's another way to do it. You can do it this way. You can do it this way and get by with it. Nobody will know. Nobody will get wise. But I will tell you, my friend, for every time you sin, there is a consequence to sin. Ah! There's a consequence to sin. Nobody sins without penalty.
Amen. Come on, Brother Billy.
Nobody.
Come on, Pastor.
Right.
Taken alive, captive by him at his will. Amnon lived in a palace, had a king for a daddy, had a counselors, prophets that come and go out of that house. But he had a friend. Jonadab. Jonadab was a sly type of person. Streetwise. He knew how to do it. Crafty. And he caused Amnon to lose his life at a young age. He didn't live out. He didn't live it out. He died in his youth. Look at Judas. Disappointed because the church wasn't going the way he wanted it. The pastor was preaching a bunch of stuff he couldn't agree with. And then he heard that they had a price on his head. That they would actually pay money for his pastor. And Judas went to the enemy of his master. And he started dealing with them. And they said, no, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. That's all he's worth to us is 30 pieces of silver. That's the price of a slave. We'll give you the price of a slave. He's just a country preacher. He's just misled. He is not worth any more than 30 pieces of silver. Judas said, okay, I'll take it. There's the snare. Judas will bring it back and throw it down and cry out, I betrayed innocent blood. But the snare is set. He is already caught. He will go and betray his master with a kiss. But before the sun comes up, before anybody can recognize what's happening, when the sun comes up and the people hit the paths and they go walking down those paths, they all of a sudden see a strange sight. There's a man hanging. And he's hung with such force that his bowels have gushed out. He hung himself. He went to his own place. And the devil captured a disciple of the Lord. Right when Jesus was preaching to him, praying for him, working on him, pleading with him, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And the devil laid the snare and Judas walked right into it. Let me tell you something, my friend. Don't do that with that attitude. Take heed when you think you're standing. Take heed.
Yeah.
You're going to fall. Pride goes before a fall.
Right.
Amen,
right.
Brother Ben.
Right.
How does God enter this picture? I must tell you, close. How does God enter this picture? Your only hope is God. No man can come unto me except my Father's Spirit draw him. God is choosing tonight. And isn't it strange? Isn't it strange that you can sit here tonight and think you're so well and be so close to a snare? One of the most horrible stories that I ever heard was told by a preacher. He fell. And as soon as he fell, he called up his overseer and told his overseer, he said, I fell. I sinned. I am guilty. I sinned. I am guilty. I sinned. He was broke down. He was crying. But it was an after effect of what he had done. The overseer talked to him and then he went and talked to the young lady. And this is what the young lady said. She said, I wanted him. She said, I wanted him. I've wanted him for months. And I knew he wouldn't listen to me. And he wouldn't pay attention to me. So I called him at night and said, my mom is sick and she's asleep and I can't wake her up. Would you come and pray for my mom? And he said, sure, I'll be right there. One of those cases, my friend, when he should have understood and should have listened, but he didn't. In a hurried moment, not thinking there was any danger, he jumps in his car and goes over there and she answers the door, scantily dressed. She had set a trap. He fell for it. He woke up too late. Lost his ministry. He lost it because of a trap. What's out there in front of you? What's that allurement been in your life? What's that drawing? What's it pulling you towards? What is it that you keep feeling irresistibly drawn towards? Some boy that you know that you shouldn't be. some girl that you know you shouldn't be, something. Remember, you've got an enemy who is the sharpest hunter ever was cunning. He is so cunning. He will give you plenty of time. But just remember one thing. He's after you. Jesus will say when he comes and they look upon him and see his pierced brow and nail prints in his hands and his disfiguration, they will say, "And where did you get those wounds?" And Jesus will say, "In the house of a friend." Check your friends out. What are they trying to get you to do? Check your friends out. Where are they trying to get you to go? Check your friends out. For they may be a tool in the hand of a devil. I have reached for you. I have waited for you. I have dealt with you. Yet you in your folly think that I will not do anything. You are so mistaken. You now are at risk. That which I have tried to divert you from is now right there in front of you. In a short time, you will find yourself in a predicament. You will find yourself enmeshed and will have no way to retreat, no way to get back that which you lose. I warn you now, and I ask you to repent. For now my spirit reaches, now my spirit deals. I have come to you tonight that you might save yourself, because you are going to be provoked and tried, and you are going to fall because of the provocation of the devil. I have warned you. Come and enlist my help. Come and plead for my help. I am not hard nor austere. I have loved you. I have sought for you. I have warned you. I have pleaded with you. But if you continue to stiffen your neck and harden your heart, you shall be cut off, and that without remedy, saith the Lord.
Know what you're thinking. I've heard messages like that before. Not to let it happen. Please, they can't see it. They know. know it's on its way. They can feel it. Holy Ghost can have to speak. Holy Ghost didn't have to do what it did. God could have stood off and just watched it.
But he didn't. Thank God he didn't.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Warn him, Pastor. Warn him. Warn him. Great God.
Messiah. Help me, Holy Ghost.
No, this is not the message that I was going to preach. You can tell that, can't you?
All of a sudden, the burden hits. All of a sudden, the pastor's got to do that which he doesn't want to do. All of a sudden, there you are. And you know that you've got to do it. You've got to do it
because somebody is going to pay a terrible price. You're going to have to say, if I was the only preacher, if I was the only preacher, here I am, sat down here, asking me, are you sure? This is the way you tell us, are you sure? That's the attitude you want to keep. Are you sure?
Are you sure? Oh, come on.
No. Well, if you've got to make up mind, you're going to go out that door, you're going to be just the same, but remember, you've been warned.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well,
right.
Amen. I wish I had never felt. give grace sufficient, give mercy abundant. Oh, that is good for children.
Somebody obey the Lord now in the mouth of two or three witnesses.
This night do I call thee. This night do I open up thy life before all. Thou dost know thou hast been where thou shouldest not go. Thine eyes have looked upon that which is not pure and true. For yea, I have looked at thee in thy secret hour. Thou thought within thine own mind, no one sees. I, the Lord, saw. I looked upon thee with love. Have mercy for thee tonight. Turn to me, that thou mayest find repentance, saith the Lord.
Stand with me, please. Brother Rick, if you'll come and get us a song. Mom and Dad, you need to reach over right now. If you feel any leading at all, if you feel any love at all, you need to reach over to your neighbor and you need to ask them, "You all right?" Are you all right? Are you all right? The Lord comes right now. If you die tonight, where will you go? With that not under the blood, where will you go? Remember, heaven, hell, which is in your hands. Step out of where you're at. Come now to this altar. Don't hesitate. Don't be embarrassed. Don't let anyone keep you from coming. You need to come. Come on. Come on. If you feel need to come to this altar, you need to come now. Don't hide. Don't hide. Whatever you do, don't hide. If you hide that sin, you're going to not prosper. If you hide that sin, you need to come and tell God, "I want that under the blood. I want that under the blood." Come on now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come and pray. Come on. You need to step out now.